Hello, hello, and huzzahs! Welcome to Anyone for Coffee, the women's health podcast funded by those wondrous Britpod and Wellcome Trust Folks Pulse Award. So thank you so much for sticking with us into this last of 15 episodes of season one. And, I do hope there's a season two. And that you've enjoyed the ride. It's been a lot of fun and obviously hugely challenging to put together to sort the real life interviews where folks bear the hardest of times. So thank you onwards and upwards to the last part of the audio fiction on eczema, wherein Charlie is in the bath and sees Gabby's head appear at the window on a first floor house. Now, I'm not saying go to this extreme for your friends, but you know, if your pal has chronic eczema that, you know, flares, and in this current climate you haven't heard from them for a little while, maybe at least say hi. And that goes for all the conditions we've explored in this podcast. Go on, just ask how they're doing, how their skin's doing, and you might even get a straight answer. And if they do need support, do feel free to give it. Have a browse of the eczema websites on the Quirky Voices websites for help and information. Or if you are truly worried about their mental health, call the eczema hotline or Mind and help them to get help. Well, anyway, on we go. Here it is. Charlie's in the bath, not wanting to be disturbed. Here's Gabby. My gentle musing was rudely interrupted by the following thoughts.
Dad are at the window.
Oh, shit.
Shit. Gabby's face.
She looks flushed but triumphant and gurns at vulnerable me through the window.
Shit, Gabby!
Yes, Gabby! All right, dickhead.
Oh, calm yourself up, Venus de Milo. Oh, well, actually, I'm coming in anyway.
Oh, no, please. I love him, please. Fuck off.
Good to see you too.
I wanted to say I do need help, yes, but I don't want it. You can't give it, and I just want to be alone. I want to be alone. But all I managed out loud was,
shit, but I can't.
Just what? It's your turn to bring the biscuits. I'm not going to let you get out of that one. Come on, out you get. Don't make me come in there. Seriously, Charlie. Not your blinds. Who did your tiles? And
who has a bath directly under their window?
I do. I can lie back and open the window and see the sky or the stars and the moon and
whoa! Your face looks sore. Like a beetroot.
Thank you. It's the nicest thing you've ever said about my face.
Not true. And yet, oh, you poor thing.
Thanks. It is sore, but it's also probably blushing too right now because everything's a bit. Look, I'm sorry. I'm not coming out. I can't. I can't function, Gabby. Please, just leave me alone. Just go back down your ladder and just leave me, please. I don't feel like, you know, I can't.
The water was huggingly warm. I felt cocooned, but crazy vulnerable as my pal was seeing me completely and utterly in all my glory naked, which, well, I mean, she had for my hen weekend, but yeah, that's another story.
What is this? Stop saying can't. Seriously, if you aren't going to come to us, then guess what's happening, love?
Please, just go away. I'm embarrassed enough you're here while I'm in the bath. I can't move. I can't even think unless I'm in here at the moment. So, no, I'm not coming. I don't want to come, and I'm sorry. No, I didn't get any bloody biscuits. I'm sorry.
Rachel, what are you doing with the ladder?
Gabby, it's sinking in the flower bed. Calm down, it's starting to slide.
Oh, no, you're in the flower bed. Oh, God, that's not doing stable enough for a ladder. We put the time capsule in there below the window last year. It's just a thin layer of soil over the old wooden chest thing. Okay, Gabby, just climb down or jump in or...
Quick, are you swearing I'm fat? Oh, shit! Oh, Dolly, will you help me? I don't care if you're naked, I'm going to die if you don't pull me in.
Oh, you're not going to die today, sir. But if you climb up and peek in at me when I'm having a bath again, I'll kill you. Come on. Oh, I'm all slippy. Oh, come on. I think realistically you're going to have to get wet.
No.
And then you're going to get eye full and all. Bloody builders. Oh, come on. Get in here now, you bastard. The naked hero, like the naked chef, but can't cook, and a hero.
Shiro!
Yeah, all right, that's embarrassing. I'm so sorry you had to see that, you two. I mean, you'll have nightmare flashbacks for years, I'm sure.
Seen it all before, love. Lumpy home weekend.
Oh, not really, no. Okay, well, okay, I thought we should have something stronger to celebrate me being actually dressed. Major actual achievement unlocked.
Huzzah!
And let's also celebrate Gabby not dying today. I can't think of any louder jokes. All I can think of is tights.
All I can think of is firemen.
Oh, yeah. Let's just take a moment for that, shall we? Mm. All the firemen lined up with no tops on and axes.
Firemen.
Actually, fire people. And my pal Nesta's in the fire service.
She's hot.
Oh.
Talking of which.
Yeah. Anyone for coffee? Though I might want some a bit stronger after all that. So coffee liqueurs all round.
Hooray! Even though it's only 10 a.m.
Hooray! Oh, who else is here?
All right, you?
Oh, hello, Mum. Oh, when did you get in? I didn't hear the door.
Gabby phoned me. I just wanted to come across and check you were okay because I don't think you're okay. Are you? Hmm?
Well, I feel so shit.
Come here, you.
I think I might cry a bit too, Mrs. Hufford.
Oh, you come here and all.
Oh, thanks.
Stop scratching.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I'm trying so hard not to scratch, but it's so hard.
You look bleeding awful.
Oh, I'm bleeding everywhere.
Oh, it looks so sore. Have you tried a change of diet or...?
Pretty much everything. Wheat-free, dairy-free diets, wet wraps, hospital daycare. I even tried light therapy, but I think that's what buggered up my face.
Oh, is that the one you do naked?
Yeah. It's quite funny because they pull the curtain across so you can undress and give you like an A3 piece of paper.
For drawing?
No, but that's funny too. And I got in this thing naked and I held the paper up in front of my bits and the lady was like, "What are you doing? That's to stand on." I felt such an idiot.
Possibly because you are.
Well, possibly, but... Yeah, well, last time I went to see them, they suggested next phase is trying cyclosporine, which is a cancer treatment drug. No way I'm taking that. So I'm just going to have to deal with it, aren't I?
It does look sore, though. Mm. Is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. It's okay. It could be worse, right? It's okay. Oh, my God, what am I saying? I feel on fire. My neck is itching. My legs need more cream on. And I forgot I'm allergic to white toilet paper. Oh, I feel raw and hot and uncomfortable and skittish. And I didn't dry my torso properly. And the stitching on these trousers is making me itch too. But, oh, hey,
these folks, these gorgeous folks came over to help. To care. And, oh, that means so much. Oh, I am a dickhead. I should, I guess, maybe just say when things are rough, but it's easier not to, isn't it? It's easier to sort it out alone, to lie in bed and make that my universe, and everything else is just not.
Yep, you can't do this on your own.
I just want to curl up and...
Look, why don't you just down this and go and have a sleep? Seriously, it's good to see you, but you look exhausted. I can't believe you went up that ladder, Gabs. You were like a monkey with the speed of a gazelle. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Bit of tummy chafe with the window ledge nearly coming off. And
sorry.
I think I've got bird shite on my jumper too. Look, let's sort this one first. Go on, bed. We'll do a tidy up for you.
Oh, God, don't, please.
Bed, friend, or I'll carry you.
She will. Fireman's lift you.
Oh, fireman.
I don't think she's slept properly in a week.
Me neither.
Oh, me too.
Me three.
Four.
Oh, whatever.
Come on. Go up. We've got you. We've got this. Let us help.
She doesn't want you to.
She has no choice. And we'll be round tomorrow. I will not have my friends wallowing. You will get better. In fact, do you want another bath? I mean...
A nod's as good as a wink.
I went upstairs and felt truly hugged. Felt bed hoovered. Felt like I could have the space to get better now because I wasn't on my own. Because I guess in the end we just need other folks to care, don't we? Don't we? I walked upstairs actually happy. On my way up I got a text from Freya saying, got some news. Which is cool, actually. Mum said...
So, ladies, whose house is it tomorrow?
I think we can all just call each other with a cuppa from our baths tomorrow, shall we?
Let's!
That's a bloody good idea.
Oh, baths idea, brilliant.
Huzzah!
Oh, huzzahs indeed. I do hope you've enjoyed the audio fiction sections. It would be wonderful to hear from you. If you've got any feedback for us or any thoughts on where you'd like to see future series go, or if you've got something that you think we could focus on as a medical condition or further aspects of the ones we've explored here, I would truly love to hear from you. So ping quirkyvoices@gmail.com. That's the email. So don't be shy. Ping me. Us, the show. So on to the final monologue of sorts of my thoughts of dealing with living with eczema daily. Every second of every day, it's here, right this second, right now. Ow. I'm just coming out the other side of a flare-up, so I'm feeling a little fragile today. And in this little shorts-ish section, we explore my thoughts on confidence and how it's really obviously altered the course of my life, to be honest, having eczema. How my parents fared with bringing me up with all my eczema issues and how it affects my sex life and confidence and more in the last of these ickle monologue-y interviews. Enjoy! And there's things to avoid, isn't there? Like they say, citrus fruits and dairy and eggs and gluten and wheat and soy and different spices and curries and stuff, tomatoes, nuts, they're all potential triggers. But again, we vary so much as humans that, you know, you can't just one size fits all and that's it, done and sorted. So what helps you when it's at its worst? Well, Charlie, I think just taking time to put back into my moisturising moments. I need to have that self-care and moment. Like, I'll often go to bed and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I'll just brush my teeth and get into bed where I should brush my teeth and put my cream on and get into bed. And I've kind of started to do that as a result, really, also of my eczema. I feel like if I'm that exhausted, then hopefully I'll get a few good hours sleep, which is not a good thought process, and I need to sort that out. But this podcast has taken many hours to put together every week, and I think once this is done and the perpetual nature of it being such a mammoth task will lend me to being more sensible. Not saying I haven't enjoyed this very much, because I really have. This talking now is weird. Has it interfered with your sex life, Sarah, and relationships in a detrimental way? Well, I think to peel that back a little, yes, through mainly self-confidence and depreciation. I mean, when I go out with pals, I'm never shy of speaking to people. I must say I've had so many wonderful adventures just striking up a conversation with a stranger. But that is different when you have a flare-up and you don't want to go out. So really, I'm kind of all or nothing, I think. I think I'll go or I don't, right? There's no like, maybe if I put some cream on it, it'll feel better and I'll be all right. It's like, no, if I try on something nice to wear, right? Something special, a bit more nice, rather than my chilled clothes that I normally wear. And within 3 seconds of putting on, the neckline itches or the label on the left-hand side has started to already cause a problem. And I'll take that off and I'll try something else on and I'll try something else on and something else makes it. Then I'm not going to go anywhere because I can't find something to wear that makes me look half decent. I remember going to a curry with some mummies wearing this ridiculous neck-high jumper because my skin was horrific. But I still wanted to go, but I had nothing that would cover it up. And I think it was like September and it was really warm. And people are like, why are you wearing a jumper? It's like, oh, it's just comfy. And then that was nothing more was said. But I suffered as a result of that because I just got so hot. So I'd like dash to the loo and like take everything off and dab water on me with a little bit of hand towel and then go back out and hopefully look refreshed. And Sarah like, but yeah, it's just, there's so many things I haven't gone to, which perhaps I should have just. But the confidence stops you. And I don't know what the core of that is. It's essentially, I guess, what people think of you and whether they're going to think detrimentally of you because you don't look nice. And things like, you know, just giving people a cuddle if you've got bare arms, right? And maybe your skin's okay. But you're going to feel creamed, right? You're going to feel creamy and people are like, oh. It's just like a split second of like, oh, that feels weird. That it's just weird and I don't like it. And then having conversations with people new and they notice, you see them notice your hands for the first time, that, as I say, mine look aged. I have my hands look and have for a very long time like a 90-year-old. They are full of wrinkles and currently free of cuts, I think completely. Oh no, there's a couple on the hand. But essentially, yeah, you see them and you're sort of, I don't know, it just registers and you think, oh no. And something just dips in you when you see people reacting to your skin, if that makes sense. And yeah, you just got to get over it, haven't you? You have. But it's hard when it's you. You can't. I'm telling you. And not judging book by cover and all that jazz. And I wonder, I know one of Charlie's questions was, how different a person would you be without eczema? And I think I'd be very different, but I can't properly fully imagine who she would be, the Sarah that would be, because I'm fully entrenched in this. And I think of opportunities I didn't take because of this skin. And I don't know, just honestly, the sheer victories of having done some things are more than anyone can ever know. Like, I've been involved in producing and encouraging new writing in audio fiction and worked with the lovely Fiona and bringing to life a few good scripts now have been publicly performed, and the immense anxiety of bringing that, Sarah, into public view and being big enough, I don't know if that word makes any sense, but being big enough to be the right person to be doing that at that time is immense. And I'm very proud of the things that I have achieved and that's only come recently. And to win funding for this was a massive, exciting thing. And I would like to do more episodes on eczema, definitely, because I feel there is so much to cover and so many stories of people who, you know, are battling varying degrees of eczematic issue with different, very different triggers and exacerbators and life experience and jobs. And I just think, you know, for us to be able to hear other people speaking and having coped with or not with the condition is key to you thinking differently about yourself as well, and not feeling like you're the only one in the world who at the moment can't get out of bed. I do that kind of 24 screen thing. Did you ever watch 24? Basically, I lie in my bed when things are bad and I'm having a bit of a wallow and coating myself in the sixth layer of cream and just thinking in my head, someone in Japan is lying there and someone in Australia and someone in America and two people in France. And the kind of they appear, these imagined people who are doing the same as me, but just coping and getting through their day. And then they get up and I don't know, I don't imagine their whole day because that's quite hard. But just this little fleeting moment sometimes come of like, and these people just pop up in my mind and thinking, I'm not the only person who feels like this right now. And I am going to get out of it. And I need to get up in 5 minutes. And you set yourself little goals like that and you just try and get to the next thing. But also, you know, also it's about getting over that hump of thinking no one can ever love you because. And I think if you think of the wider picture of the billions of people in this world who all have different things that affect them and their self-confidence, I think if you imagine that everyone else is also thinking, no one will ever love me. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? But I do feel that at certain points in our lives, that's what we're going to go through. Almost everyone, I'd imagine. But I don't know because I haven't been everyone yet. I'm working my way through the character list. But so, yeah, I'd say intimacy has been difficult in some respects. And I've been lucky enough to have experienced some relationships where my skin did not seem to matter and I had the grooviest of times. So thanks for that. Another question. Oh yeah, what effect did it have on your parents dealing with your condition? Right, so I mentioned my mum and dad a little, but I've got to say kudos to any parent dealing with a child. At some respects, you've got to understand that that child does not do any different, right? In a way, they're not seeing everybody else's bedtime routines until perhaps a sibling comes along. That, you know, they don't know that not everybody is having to moisturise every day. So you don't need to tell them that. So you are just in it. As a kid, you're just doing it because you know you have to. And then if you don't do things, they hurt more, right? That's the essential thought process, I think, breaking it down a little bit. But when it gets to the point where things are affecting your sight or being able to speak because you've got the cracks around your nose and your mouth as a kid, or, you know, you're meant to go swimming that day and you've got bright red patches and you really cannot face it, then I think your parents need to be sensitive to helping the child make the most sensible decisions for their mental health, because you don't want to exacerbate the worst, the bad issues that arise because of having this condition. And my mum and dad and my closer family, my Auntie Sue and lots of people have been astounding in supporting me and say nice things. You know, when someone you love or like says, your skin's looking good today, that's like giving you lottery money. It's like, I don't know, winning races and all good things. I can't think of any other good things. Winning races, winning lottery, getting that thing you always wanted to do. It just feels amazing when you know they mean it. So if you've got a pal with eczema and, you know, it is looking better, do tell them. Because although they'll probably be embarrassed and, like, shun it, they've taken that in and you've probably made them a bit better. Because I sit always bad at taking compliments on me. I don't know, maybe not all of you, but I know I am. So what would you say to parents who have a kid with it? Well, make sure you are communicating with them. Have you put your cream on this morning? How are you feeling today? What was your skin like after swimming today? Did you get enough chance to moisturise it? And communicate with schools. If your kid has an issue, let them know they're going to need some extra time, perhaps after PE, after sweat a bit, or after swimming, or doing something, you know, that does involve exertion, maybe extra time just to put a little bit of cream on and get themselves to a state where they can function. Things like enabling kids to put a little bit of cream on their eyes, around their eyes, around their face during the day after they've eaten, all those kind of things, just to help moisturise and keep those areas fluid for working with. How can you help your own mental health when things are bad? What do you do? That's a really tough question, because I feel like I busy it out of my life, right? I fill my life with many, many things. There's nothing more than I enjoy than being behind a microphone, creating and being a fun character or a demanding character or a challenging character or just working with someone else's words. And that is one of my solace. That's my place I retreat to be the most me I am someone else. I think it's about positive thinking, isn't it? It's about knowing that things happen in cycles, things happen for a short period of time, and hopefully soon last, however long it lasts, you're going to get out of feeling this way, feeling this sore, feeling this pain, and being able to breathe and enjoy. I mean, I found like when lockdown first started, I had massive hay fever issues, so I couldn't go out in the sun in my garden because that was setting off my hay fever, which then set off my asthma, and then my skin started. You know, it's all these cyclical, stupid things that build up and happen as a result of all your potential allergies. So it's about really, I feel like, enjoying the feel of the sun on your face and looking at your family and loving the very bones of them because they love you and you are lucky to be sharing these precious moments of life with them if they're nice. And in life, I'm very lucky and blessed. Paul is an amazing husband. We're chalk and cheese, right? We're so different. He's loud, I'm quiet. He's a bit bigger, I'm a bit smaller. But he is very funny, and we are united in what makes us laugh. And I would say for my mental health, having him in my world is just the best feeling you cannot buy. Similarly, blessed with love from my family, who I care deeply about across the world. And I remember my grandma saying to me, it's like, oh, we're really worried about you for a little while. But you've seemingly grown into yourself, which she said when I saw her when I was 18, which I took as a grand compliment. Because I feel a lot of my asthmatic days as a child were lived in my head rather than out loud. I don't know if that resonates for people. And I still do it a lot now. Like, I suppose that's why I love writing and I've loved doing these, because it's about just finding what those inner workings are doing and the creativity that happens behind those brain firing synapses is wondrous, and long may it continue. So I think obviously trying to avoid things that trigger you is sensible. Well, you can, you know, but not cutting yourself off completely if things aren't working. I think communicating with people and saying, you've got your dogs, would you mind just knowing that, you know, I've got this allergy. So yeah, if I come round, if they're jumping up at me, can you just help? Because I'm too shy to do anything about it. So most people are amazing. Like, most pals I have who know of my condition, like, put their dogs outside for a bit, or, you know, cats are in another room, or those kind of things, which is awful, but it's sort of helpful as well in many conditions. So yeah, it's about communicating when you know you've got an issue and making sure that you are up front if things are going to potentially be activating something that makes you feel worse. I mean, I think essentially it's not just physically, but it's mentally draining having eczema to chronic levels, and the buoyancy of it, you know, the up and the downs are just so disparate sometimes. I think I did a show called Bad Girls a few years ago. I played the prostitute mum, Julie Saunders, and it was the best fun. And the cast were wonderful and amazing, and I love them all. And it was a good period in my life. And I was thinking all the time, we were running up to rehearsals, and I was thinking, please don't be allergic to the costume. Please skin behave, and so you're not sort of totally pockmarked. Because I had to wear a skirt, and I never wear a skirt. And thankfully, it was a good, clear period of time. And so I kind of think that's one of my, like, pillars of goodness, right? I think of those good times where it can be good, right? And it's having those moments to go back to and thinking, yes, you You know, there are times when, okay, you are just a hibernating little mouse, but there are times when you can go out there and you can be who you want to be and have the best fun as the person you are. No faking, just you enjoying yourself. And I do that most with my friends who I miss dearly at the moment. So if you're my friend and I haven't spoken to you, I love you and I miss you. And when can we chat? And I'm lucky to have some brilliant colleagues in podcasting and in teaching. And again, absolutely bloody love the bones of you lot keeping me buoyant, keeping me going, saying nice things and being kind. And I don't know, the lift you get from other people's company that genuinely care. And there are some wonderful people in this world, Fiona Threl included, who edits this podcast, who, you know, not a bad bone in that body. So I just think surrounding yourself with people who are positive helps. Trying to cut out of your life people who have been negative or are not kind. I just want people to be kind. And we all have our struggles. I understand this to varying degrees. But I will say this again. You only have one life, so go live it. Nobody else is going to live yours for you. You have to do what's best for you. And I feel like in my 40s, that I'm finally in a place where I am absolutely enjoying myself the most. I think voice acting has been a solace, and kudos and thanks to every single person who's ever given me a part, because that lifts me so much. I do physically jump and get excited. It's sort of perhaps an ADHD reaction, but I do. I get very excited about new roles and just all of the new adventures and the new connections and the new friends that making through doing podcasting is wonderful. So this is my thing at saying, folks, if you've enjoyed this podcast and you have a specialism or a hobby or something you think you would want to share your views on and your world and your best friends or people, or get specialists in to help others, then do it. It's really not that hard once you get a few things in place. And I'm hugely happy to try and help anybody on their podcasting journey and help you get started. So email me on quirkyvoices@gmail.com if you feel like you need any help. And I can signpost you to some places and or talk you through some ways of starting myself. Well, I do hope some of that was useful. It turns out I'm not particularly great at interviewing myself. I should have done it as a proper character or something, or got someone else to, but I didn't because of time and life. So, well, I think I was just feeling a little bit shy. So, on to Julia Wheeler for the last time in this season on what folks can do to recognise that they need help, the signs and signals that we should look out for and what to do. Here we go. We are very lucky to have the lovely Julia Wheeler back today to talk to us all things about when do you as an eczema sufferer need to recognise that actually you need to get some help. So welcome, Julia. Welcome back today. It's lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. So if folks are struggling, you know, and as I've talked about on the podcast and you've seen in the audio fiction, the character of Charlie is really struggling. All she wants to do is go in the bath. It's the only place she feels normal. And her friends, luckily, want to rally around and help her. And I think communication is so key. And I think with eczema and the busy world as it is today, sometimes you can just want to hibernate. Yeah, and just not go. We're like little hamsters, and the only safest place perhaps is on or in the bed, perhaps covered with something light and moisturise. And I kind of end up, yeah, sort of being quite fetal and or just seeking, you know, a bath and some solace from that. So what could you recommend for folks if they're feeling like, oh, they really are rotten? When do they need to recognise that actually they need to seek some medical help?
Well, there's lots of reasons why you might need to do that. It might be, first of all, that you are having a really bad flare and your eczema has become out of control. Yeah. You may have an infection that needs to be dealt with. So if you've got any massive increase in inflammation in particular areas and any exudate golden fluid leaking from your skin or crusting developing, I think that's one of the indications, really, that there could be some infection.
Yeah.
And you do need to get help then, because emollients and topical therapies alone are not really going to offer you the support you need. So it does require a quick trip to the doctors. You do need to get seen. They may want to swab your skin and just check what the kind of bacterial growth is there, so they can give you appropriate antibiotics. But they very often just use flucloxacillin as a first choice. It may be that they can use topical antiseptic kind of treatments to help bring things a bit more under control. But usually, you know, very often you do need a little bit more than your first line treatments. So yeah, it's about going and, you know, when your skin is showing evidence of infection, you must go to the doctor.
Brilliant. And the mental health implications as well of dealing with things. How would you suggest folk put a step in the right direction to get help for dealing with that side of eczema?
As we know, eczema affects so much of our life. For children at school, it can impact their studies. For people at work, you know, they may be struggling in various different ways. It stops you participating in sports sometimes. When you start, you know, failing to sleep through the night, everything becomes a bit of a spiral downhill. So you do need to, when you're feeling a little bit like things are just getting on top of you, I think it's about recognising how you respond to situations, how you're responding. Noticing that actually this is something that means you're not coping very well, and you do need to go and get some help. So to the GP first off, there are other things that you can do. And as I said earlier in the previous podcast, I think we were talking about these apps that you can download, and they can be helpful just sort of in keeping a track of the severity of your skin at a particular time. And so that can give you an indication of when things are really making you feel worse at particular times. You can use that as evidence when you go to your GP. And I think most GPs will just consider your skin without recognising the deeper side of, you know, the impact of eczema. So it is important that you stress very clearly, you know, that your mood is above all being affected, perhaps. And they can look at ways of helping you in that regard in particular. So a lot of GPs like to direct you to services for psychological support. And one of the first ones which is available, you know, on the NHS is something called IAPT, which is stands for Improving Access to Psychological Therapies. You can refer yourself to this, or your GP can refer you to it. And it's talking therapies, really. It's an opportunity for you to look at the triggers that are making you feel low. And it's it can be done as a group support, or it can be done on an individual basis, depending on how, you know, you feel you're best going to respond to support. But yeah, they're a really excellent service. And they're available, you know, throughout the UK. There's lots of different hubs within England. So there'll be one for Buckinghamshire. There'll be one, you know, sort of for the north of England, and usually sort of within different health authorities. So, yeah, you have to look individually. So I think if you were to look under IAPT, you'd find the one that was local to yourselves, and it will talk to you about how you can refer yourself. And they'll give you the opportunity to outline how you're feeling at the moment, and they'll do different checklists with you. So there'll be an anxiety and depression questionnaire, really. So you score yourself on the way that you're feeling today and how your life is being affected. So it's a scale, really, which alerts the therapist to just how severely impacted you are by things at the moment. And I think it's helpful. They can then provide the appropriate level of treatment depending on that questionnaire, really. And hopefully they do that on a weekly basis, and, you know, they assess how you're improving. And yeah, it's a really helpful. So a lot of the time people are really quite reluctant to engage in psychological therapies. I think there's a bit of a stigma, you know, historically to engaging in that way. And I sometimes do mention it to patients, and they just don't want to, you know, they feel that they should be able to manage this themselves. But for the people that I know who have, you know, explored that avenue, they have found it incredibly helpful. And I think IAPT services are designed really to support people with chronic health needs. And although skin is not mentioned very often on their website, it is something that they will provide support for.
I mean, I'm standing here right now, and probably about 40% of my body really hurts. And yet, you know, we are just, you have to function, don't you? I have to work. I'm a teacher and a podcaster, and I have to, you know, be wife and mother and do all the house things that need doing. And so, yeah, you know, there's these things that happen, and sometimes that can really overload you. And I'll say to my husband, I can't move today. I can't get up. And yeah, that's not happened very often. I've got to say, it's not every week at all. It's not every month even sometimes. No. But when it is bad, it really is bad. And I do feel very low. And I think, you know, being a teacher, for example, you have to get past the day where I've got to go into work today. I can't really walk very well, so I'll do my best, and you know, my face perhaps is falling off, on my necks are ribbons of scratches, and I'll face these lovely students I teach. And you know, that's the other thing, is dealing with other people's perception of eczema. People who don't know you, people who will see you on public transport or in the street or face to face in a shop, or obviously less so now, but you know, potentially those moments of dealing with other people's reactions can really get to you. And I've had that too. And I think also thinking about parents trying to help their child through, you know, maybe I had it where kids didn't want to hold hands with me when I was at school. Just very simple little tiny things that, you know, build up and build up that can make your child perhaps feel, I'm upset, my skin is making people, they thought it was a disease, or, you know, they're sort of blowing on my hand because it was sore. And I was, so they were laughing at me because I was doing that. And just all these little things can build up. And as an adult as well, you still are very conscious, I feel, of how other people perceive you. Maybe that, you know, it's dirty or you're not hygienic, or, you know, which far from it, you know, you're probably, eczematics are amongst the cleanest and most hygienic and probably most flammable people walking around this earth. Yeah, it's about those kind of things as well. I mean, coping mechanisms for dealing with that side of things. Is there anything you can suggest folks do if they're feeling sort of particularly hounded by thoughts about that?
Well, I think, you know, scratch, itch, that's another thing that really impacts people. This cycle of scratching your skin and learning to manage that, you know, intervene and stop that cycle from escalating. Because you've got this tiny little itch, you know, scratch it and it feels immediately better. But then, of course, it becomes much more itchy immediately afterwards. And, you know, you just begin to scratch and tear your skin apart. So it's helpful to understand how you can break that cycle and what you can do to nip that in the bud. And I think these kind of therapies, and there are different places that you can go. I think also I mentioned on a previous podcast, we were talking about the Skin Support website and their mindfulness and meditation resources. Mm-hmm. They're a place where you can go, and so you can download, you know, like a meditation.
Okay. Is that super?
So you can listen to a meditation, you can listen to a focus on how to reduce itch or manage itch. And I think that it's when you're really feeling that you're not managing, going and accessing, you know, those kind of resources, just to sort of nip it in the bud a little bit.
That will help.
Would be helpful.
Excellent. Yeah. And just as a sort of a last thing as well, sort of people who are partners of people with eczema and or parents as well, would you suggest they go to the same sites, or is there any other support for partners and family members of sufferers?
Probably the National Eczema Society really would be the best place to start off. And, you know, you can make contact with them, and that is quite a good support group where you can connect with people. And I think maybe, you know, you'd be able to chat through, you know, sort of connect with people that are going through the same things.
Yes. And that's the thing, isn't it? That's the whole point of this podcast, is just making that potential connection with other people and finding out what they do. You know, as you said, suggested that lady with the shirt and the dressing issue, you know, if you've got other people who've had things like that, what did they do to solve or exacerbate the good part and not the bad? And any other coping strategies that folks have had that, you know, help them to build their confidence, you know, any makeup that works for you, or, you know, personally that maybe other folks can think, oh, okay, maybe that might work for me. And things that make you feel more like the person you want to be, rather than the person your skin condition is dictating that you turn into. So, yeah, anything to sort of bring more normalcy, I think, can be gained by communicating with other other folks who are going through exactly what you are. And there are so many. I don't know what the statistics for eczematics across Britain are, but I'm certain there are many, many, many.
There are, yes. Actually, it's really quite high. I think it's 20% of school children. I better look that up. But it's a very, very high number of people. But of course, the range of eczema is, you know, very varied. So there's less people who have it on the upper end of the spectrum and a lot of people that do have it, you know, more mildly. So
Yes. And if you have it and you're listening right now, I hope your day is a good day today and that you're treating yourself kindly and giving yourself treats. I don't think I'm allergic to chocolate. I haven't properly cut it out ever. but it's my go-to for my treat. So I hope you're treating yourself nicely if you've had perhaps, you know, at least a good few days of being good and trying not to itch those horrid scratches. But oh, the ecstasy, right? So there are fleeting moments of happiness for eczematics that lead to terrible, tragic days. But I think it is all about the managing and giving yourself that knowledge and that empowerment to think, well, I'm going to get all the information I can and look at the IAPT site and all of the wonderful things that lovely Julia has mentioned in these last few podcasts for you to get yourself informed and hopefully connected with other people that are like me and just want to just live their best lives, which I hope you do too. So Julia, I hugely appreciate your time to come on for this and your busy schedule, and I'm sure listeners do too, for all those brilliant resources you've given. So huge thank yous for coming on Anyone for Coffee. I know you've probably made a difference to quite a lot of people.
It's great to be here.
So thank you, and yes, happy nursing, happy making people better, and I wish you the best of everything. It's very cool to have people like you to make people like me better.
But you take care. It's great to have been here. Bye.
Woohoo, wahey, kaloo, kalay, this is the finish line, the end of the beginning of the first season of Anyone for Coffee. Cheers. Ah, happy days. Please do check out all of the links on the Quirky website. Please do ping us any thoughts, questions, or just say hi to quirkyvoices@gmail.com email, or at quirkyvoices, or at Sarah of Golding on Twitter. And please do pass on this podcast to anyone who might benefit via forums or websites or your own personal social media. And, well, thank you so much for listening. If you have enjoyed it, I would so, so love any more reviews on any of the podcatchers that you jump on. Folks have started to ping some more on there, which is wonderful. They make such a difference to people finding us. And, well, however you find us, we do appreciate you listening very, very much. And I hope you're having a decent day today, whatever you may well be trying to soldier on through. And I honestly hope some aspects of this ambitious podcast have been useful and helped you or someone you know, because that's why I've spent quite a while of my life trying to make it happen. So thank you hugely to these other folks who have helped me on the way. Matthew, Matt Hutt and Zach Lemon for the grooviest of music. To the wonderful and insert words of amazing here, Fiona Thrale, my executive producer, for all her time and expertise and patience in making this mammoth season happen and also giving moral support and simple wondrousness along the way. Thanks so much to you. Yes, you listening right now. Remember to check out the IAPT services, all of the things that we've highlighted on the website to get you the help you might need. There's phone numbers, there's websites, there's app recommendations, blog recommendations. There's so much on there, and you owe it to yourself to educate yourself on your condition, I feel. And so, to be honest, there's no excuse not to look at the books, the apps, the blogs, the websites, and all there is there to help you get better and stay better. And get informed. Make these diaries happen. Download these templates from websites and start to chart your food intake, your eczema behaviour, your epileptic seizures, your periods, your times when things are just too hard to even get out of bed. Chart that, make it part of your daily routine to make sure that if you're going to see your GP, you have evidence of how things have been. I think that's really key and useful for you also to look at the pattern of things and see where your triggers and other things might be causing things to be a little bit worse. And it goes without saying thank you to my wonderful, amazing, beautiful cast inside and out for, well, all of their hard work in these episodes and heart and love and realness. You know, they are going through these things even now. And I'm sure if you can just send a little bit of healthy and happy vibes their way, that will go a long way too. So Diane Alexander, Lucy Shirley, Lara Parker, Kirsten Stansfield, Fiona Thrale and Paul Golding, thank you. You've been amazing. Thanks also to the funders of this podcast for enabling it to happen. Of course, having that them give me that kick I needed to just get it done. And it's done. Exciting. And of course, all the folks who have contributed their expertise, Faye Farthing of Endometriosis UK, Matthew Walker of Epilepsy Research and UCL London, Tracy Greenwood of the Blackpool Teaching Hospitals NHS Trust, to Julia Wheeler of Amersham and Stoke Mandeville Hospital, Hilary of the Epilepsy Cast, and Kylie Salholm, who works in mental health. Thank you. Take a deep bow, and I really appreciate you taking time out of your very busy professional schedules to help us with giving people signposts to advice. Please do take a look at the charities that support these issues and support them where you can. I'm very excited to say that regards to people, I offered stipends for our speakers and our voice actors, and many of them opted to give instead to charities. So we have donated money to Epilepsy Research, to Pelvic Girdle Partnership, to Endometriosis UK, to the Eczema Society. And I must say, we got a lovely letter back from the epilepsy people thanking us for our contribution, which was very kind. So thank you for that. So please do jump in and support these charities where you can, researching ways to help people's everyday be so much better. Do hunt for other podcasts on these issues as well. I'm sure there are plenty that really focus in. We've just obviously just grazed the surface and covered an introduction to all of these conditions, if you like. And well, of course, there is so much more to say. And I know I could talk for a few days on all things medical health with regards to these, and happy to interview people till the cows come home. So if you'd like to hear more, let us know. Please do. And I think we'll pretty much stop there. So the whole point of this podcast is to say, do take care of yourselves, please. You do matter very, very much. Do practice some mindfulness. Get yourself read up on all things that affect you and your condition. The information is out there. Just need to have a little hunt. And do reach out to pals who've got one or more of these issues and just say hi now and then, because they might be in a rut that you never knew about. They might be coming out the other side of an operation they didn't tell you about, or having had a seizure a few days ago, or having a flare-up, or they had an issue going out to the shops and everything became too much and the anxiety took over. Or if they've got their little baby and things aren't right, just reach out. It doesn't cost much, or if anything, to nurture that friendship and value another human being who you probably love, like, strongly, have as a friend. Especially now, because now is harder for everyone, isn't it? So, sincere hugs to you from here, from me. And pinging through the microphone, vibes of cool, good health, vibrant happiness, and you getting out of the dark times into the light, into the fun. Go have some fun now. And well, thank you for listening, you legends. Stay safe, get well, be kind. Bye.